does it mean to be logical? And logic, is logic the answer? In the first place, or rationality or logic. And there is a difference between rationality and logic. I know there is a lot of times it's sometimes used interchangeably, which I don't know why, but like a lot of people do this. But is logic useful? Is it necessary? Is logic the answer? And this is where we go back to the question, the last episode that I just published, like just a couple seconds ago, which is the question of what am I missing? So is logic the solution to life's problems, your problems? Is logic a way to become more truthful or accurate? Assuming you can even become more truthful or accurate, but even assuming you can, right? Even if you can't, though, it still can be useful, but that's a different episode. Anyways, so this is the question. And this is where I'm starting to do, I think what I'm going to start doing more of is some open-ended questions or some open-ended episodes. Because I'm starting to see that, like, a lot of the episodes that I do, they don't leave a whole lot of room for your opinions or understandings or whatever it is to creep in, or you to actually answer these questions yourself. Don't worry, I'm still going to do closed questions and closed episodes, and if that's a word you can use, because there are times where I think that is can be useful, but I'm going to start doing some open-ended ones. Maybe, possibly, we'll see how that goes. But, the question of logic is an interesting one, because what I've really noticed about people is that it's very difficult for most people to become logical because of and there's probably more than this, but the two most common reasons, perhaps even three. So the two or three most common reasons why it's more difficult and why it's something that people are not going to do and listen to is what I'd call the emotional effect, the bias effect, or you could combine these two with story. And this is why it's one of those reasons why I noticed that people who talk about things in a lot more logical ways and actually give you like interesting solutions and realities concerning this are people that are not listened to as much. And it's really interesting to see that, because a lot of times what I find is that those people have interesting and in a lot of ways more accurate points. In a lot of cases, because the logic is not necessarily infallible, but it is less prone to errors than emotions and bias and story and things like this. But because what the mind pays most attention to is emotion, bias, and stories, logic-filled answers and logic-filled points make no sense. And in fact, they seem counterintuitive. Like the idea that crime causes poverty sounds counterintuitive to a lot of people, because they think that people who are committing crime must be doing this because they're poor and they're struggling. And I'm not saying there's no people like that, but what I've really come to understand is that even if that is technically true in some cases, which I'm sure it can be, what I've mostly found is the opposite. And there's logical reasons I can give you, and I can even give you stories. But the emotions, the bias, and the story that you've been told your entire life, especially if you're on the left, is that crime is caused, or no, that poverty is causing the crime and not the other way around. And really, it is actually the other way around. It's actually, you could actually even go further with this and say, like, oh, well, even if you say that poverty causes crime, well, crime also causes poverty. And so committing crime is like a vicious cycle. You're poor, and so you commit a crime. That person now has less of whatever it is you stole or you vandalized or whatever it is. Now he's more poor because of that. And so this person might commit more crime and creating more poverty. Which is what I think we see in a lot of like the hood type stuff that we hear about. I think that's definitely something that we could definitely make an episode on. Or make an argument about. Because it's probably, I could give you that, but you would still have to admit at the end of the day. Well, not admit, because people will not admit this, but that crime definitely causes poverty. Which is something that I've talked about in episodes in the past. But logic, these logical answers, these logical conclusions are so counterintuitive because of these three things that the mind follows most of all, emotion, bias, and story, that the a logical answer sounds counterintuitive. And so you have to think harder about the answer. Like, you have to think harder about where this is coming from. Is this actually true? Like, why? What is actually happening here? This kind of thing. I know I'm kind of rambling, but this is kind of where we get into the answer here. So this is where the question of, is logic the answer? Which is kind of a simplistic question. I could definitely get more specific questions. But the answer is going to depend on what you're attempting to do, I suppose. And what you're, what's the right word phrase I could use here? The answer is dependent on what you're attempting to do and also which answers you're attempting to get in the first place, right? If you're talking about in your own life or like preferences and things like this, probably not the answer. It's probably not going to be, although you could actually use logic to help yourself understand like, oh, this is not the right answer for me for various reasons. As well, which is something that most people would go counter to again because it's counterintuitive to do that. But if you are attempting to understand something, especially understand something at scale, you know, it's one thing to understand like a person. Like if you're attempting to understand a person, logic is not necessarily going to have an answer in that particular case, unless that person is hyper-logical or whatever. But if you're looking at things at scale, like at larger levels, numbers, like for instance, like one person, you could use, if you're just trying to look at one person, you could use emotion, story, and bias. Well, not necessarily bias, but definitely story and emotion, right? And you can understand the other person by looking at what their story is and their emotion and their bias. And of course, you could do that in a logical way as well, but that's not going to be as easy to do. But if you're looking at things in scale, like 10,000 people or 100,000 people or more, what I find to be the case is that logic works well in those cases, because you're looking at multiple factors, multiple statistics here, rather than just like one person, which is you know, the mind understands one person. Like, if you look at one person or one idea or whatever it is, it's able to kind of understand that. But once it gets up to scale like this, at these larger levels, the one person solutions and the one idea solutions and whatnot that the mind employs are not going to be as effective, because you can't, let's say, for instance, equate like one person to an entire group, right? Like, which is what some people do. Like, oh, this person I know was just like this. Just this person was like this, and so this group must be the exact same way, right? You can't necessarily do that. So you have to use something different. And you can use story with logic in that way as well. Or you could use the emotion bias in story, but you have to use it in a lot of different way than you would normally use it. And so in that case, I think logic would be more useful. Of course, more useful is very much a broad term, but we have a very broad answer here, or broad question. So broad questions create broad answers. So this is why economies at scale are so hard to understand. Because there's multiple, not only are there multiple people involved, millions of people, but there's also millions of different variables that are happening and different possibilities that are also going to happen in the future that you can't predict in the same way that you can, like, one person or even a couple of people. And so logic or statistics or mathematics or some other formula would have to be used. And so this is where that question that we asked in the last episode is so useful. If you are a hyper-logical person, you might want to ask yourself, like, well, what am I missing here? What is this not taking into account? Like, am I struggling just to get an answer for, like, one person or whatever it is? Because I am hyper-logical. If you find yourself not logical, hyper-emotional, and you find yourself not understanding something at scale, you might want to ask yourself the same question. What am I missing here? What is not sane? Because the problem, too, the thing that I've noticed is that the mind has plenty of the mind is understands easily what is happening if it, like, has dealt with this thing before. Like, if you're a Republican, or not even as a Republican, let's not get into that, but if you're in a certain group or age range or whatever, and you probably understand certain things, certain memes, but if you're in a different age range, those memes are going to be, they're not going to be understandable to you. You know, like the online culture and the online stuff is not going to make any sense to you. And so the mind works well with things that it understands well. And so logic in that situation may not necessarily be as useful. It could be useful to kind of deconstruct what's actually being said there and what's actually being seen and what this meme actually means and, like, finding ways of going beyond that, which is also something that I recommend doing sometimes, honestly. But for the most part, that's not going to be as necessary. It's a completely different puppy, though, however, when you come across something that you have not experienced or understood before, you have not gone through before, and then, and in that case, you might want to use perhaps use logic or use these three things, emotion, story, and bias, in a different way to try to reframe what's being seen here. which is kind of like a, it's kind of counterintuitive to do that, but it is honestly worth doing, honestly, if you're interested in trying to do that. But it very much depends on what you're attempting to achieve as well. If you're not as concerned with economies at scale or things at scale, logic is not necessarily going to be as useful. But if you are, if you're curious or if you work with those kinds of things, logic, or at least a reframing of these three things, emotion, story, and bias, is going to have to be necessary for this to work. And honestly, if you were to ask me this question like 3 years ago, like, is logic the answer? I probably would have been like, probably necessary. But now my answer is not necessarily. It can be useful in this kind of situation, but what's really necessary is that you have to learn to become a lot more fluid with your emotion, story, and bias. This is important. Because if you're attempting to work with people that you don't understand, which is definitely going to happen in your lifetime, then you're going to have to learn how to do that as a matter of course. If you want to work with them well, if you don't, well, that's a different story, but So what do I mean by emotion, story, and bias? Of course, we can go into that as well. So I think this is pretty explanatory, but for those who are probably hyperlogical, you're not going to understand this. But so these three kind of feed off of each other in a lot of ways. So emotion is understandable. Fear, anger, things like this, right? These things create and justify and lead to what you could call the story, and also bias. The story is, you kind of like what you tell yourself, like, oh, this person, like, let's say something happens, right? Let's say, I think one example here, that you, actually, an interesting example that was really interesting that I came across a couple of years ago was from actualize.org, and he was talking about this in an episode about recontextualization. He was talking about where he, I think what it was talking about was that he was giving cookies away for a class, or he gave cookies to a teacher or something. And a few minutes later, he noticed a student was eating one of the cookies, and so he got angry. He was like, why are you eating the cookies that it was supposed to give away to the class itself, not just to you or whatever it is. And what he found out later was that one of the cookies fell to the ground or something when she was loading them or whatever it was. And so that's why the student was eating the cookie, right? And so the story, the original story was, this person is, you know, bad because he took the cookies away from the teacher or whatever, only to have the story reframed and say, like, oh, no, one of the cookies fell, and so the student decided to just eat the cookie because otherwise it would just go to waste or whatever, right? That story, and that's reframing. You know, I could tell you, like, another story that's not necessarily considered as a story as much, but could be a story in its own right, in a sense. Which is, and this whole thing is a story, right? This episode is a story in a sense as well, in different ways, in different places. But I could tell you the story, like, oh, well, if you think about, like, how your mind works, all you really are is a program running in your brain, right? And I can give you reasons why, like, oh, this is because, like, if you observe your thoughts, you can notice that they, no matter how much you try to change a thought, or no matter how much you try to, like, control your thoughts, you can't necessarily control them as much as you think. Oftentimes, you are kind of running unaware in the background and thoughts are happening, they're controlling you, this kind of thing. Things like this, right? And you can give those kinds of examples, but then you can give opposite examples perhaps as well that would create a new story, a new framing, not necessarily discounting the old story, although you could definitely do that as well. You could definitely try to do that as well, but putting it in the sense of understanding that this story of the mind being a program is more of a metaphorical rather than a literal truth, right? Things like this. So bias is basically the story. You could call it like a rigidity of the mind, like, oh, it's this way but not that way, or whatever it is, right? And there's different kinds of biases, obviously, but that's what I mean by emotion, story, and bias. And of course, there's probably more to this as well. But I'm just giving you general definitions here and just general ways in which this works. But there could be more than just these three that are at play as well. So, anyways, hope you enjoyed this episode. It is a kind of a broad episode, but I figured I would do this anyways because it's just kind of going against what I've talked about in the past, I suppose. And so I figured I'd do that because of that as well. So hope you enjoy this episode. And I'll talk to the next one.